I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Coming up later on Yorkshire Radio, we've got an evening of delight for you. At 7 o'clock, we travel around looking for the best chippy in Yorkshire. And at 7:30, we cross to the fields for the sheepdog trials. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll be putting a ferret down my trousers. And then at 10:30, we'll be talking to members of the Yorkshire public in Yorkshire, the world's greatest place, and finding out what they love about this incredible county. What do I love about it? Nowt. Price have gone sky high. I spent £10 on parking today. Traffic was bloody terrible. Fish and chips, that costs a fortune, no good anymore. Bloody sheepdogs everywhere, shitting hither and thither. Well, as for the weather, I mean, look at it, bloody raining. Bloody raining. You can't go anywhere, bloody raining. Did I mention everything costs a fortune? I hate it here. I hate it. Moving to Spain. All right, bye. Hey up. Welcome to Park Date. How are you doing? We've got a great episode today with someone who I really love. This is the first time I met her, but I don't think it's going to be the last. In fact, we might have her on the show again. She was so funny. We met at Woodbury Wetlands, which is kind of like a lake with some bridges and some reed beds. And lots of wildlife. We saw some birds and we talked about raccoons and things. It was really, really funny. And we talked about Avenue 5, the Armando Iannucci sitcom, which she has been in. It is, of course, Liz Guderbach. Liz came all the way from California just to see me. No, that's not true. She lives in London now. And she will be at the Edinburgh Festival. She's doing her show, Geriatric Millennial, all through August at the Pleasance. Go and see it. It will be great. And if you like Park Date, please leave a review and star rating. Tell us what you think. At Park Date Podcast is the socials. My socials are at Chris Beanland on Twitter, at Christopher Beanland on Insta. And also on Insta, you can check out my new feed, Christopher Beanland Comedy, where I will be posting some funny videos. That's at Christopher Beanland Comedy. Enjoy this episode. Okay, welcome to Woodbury Wetlands in North London. It's just about to rain, I think. I'm here with Liz Guderbach. Liz, how are you?
I'm really great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
You did so well with the name.
Was that okay?
It was perfect.
Guderbach. That's my Coachella influencer accent.
It's perfect. Yeah. Who are you wearing?
ASOS.
Yes, amazing. A little bit of ASOS over
ASOS.
Here.
ASOS. Yeah, you mispronounced it. ASOS.
ASOS. We're getting in there with the accent stuff. But yeah, I'm doing so great. This is one of my favorite places.
Yeah, this is a nice place, isn't it? We're talking about nature. Parks are great, but this one especially is kind of more like a nature reserve. There's lots of rare species of
birds and animals and things, isn't there? So you can feel like you're at one with nature.
Exactly. And around the other side of the reservoir I saw on the way here, they have like a little chalkboard where people have put up which birds have been sighted today.
Oh, awesome.
And I was a little sad they didn't have all the names, like their proper names. Yeah. Like, as in, like, this is Barry and this is... Yeah, that's really stupid.
They should, like... Here's Pauline.
Yeah,
parrot.
Yeah. She's lived here for 25 years.
Exactly.
She doesn't
want... 150 children.
She doesn't want you to take any pictures.
Exactly.
But no, that's really... This is one of the best places in the world because you could just watch the birds sort of land and take off and swim and do all the things that birds do.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I actually saw a guy with binoculars, so there's some serious bird watchers come here as well.
Serious bird watchers. Yeah. I always wondered if I would get to an age when I would be really... Yeah, when I would want to watch birds. I don't feel like I'm calm enough yet. I feel like I'm at the age when, like, if somebody's made me walk to meet them really far, I go, oh, don't worry about it. Need to get those steps in.
Yeah. Well, like I did today.
Yeah. Like, that's the age that I was thinking about that on the way here. I was like, it's fine. I have to get my steps in.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you like birds and animals? Were you kind of into them? Like, I have a very young niece and she already loves dogs and animals and things.
Very much. I actually, in my family, I was sort of known... They didn't call me the dog whisperer because I don't think that term had really been out. The movie The Horse Whisperer wasn't out yet, so it wasn't like in the public lexicon. But anyway, my aunt and uncle had a really crazy dog named Posey.
Posey?
And when I was... She was an amazing dog, but she went nuts whenever anybody would come in the house. And I remember, you know, I was like 9 or 10, and anytime we'd come over, I would just... be able to almost instantly calm the dog down.
That's and a very good talent.
Yeah, my family were just like, okay, this is either amazing or she's possessed. Like, we don't know. But I love animals so much. And I think one of the best things about, because I used to live nearby the reservoir, mm-hmm. one of the best things about living near here is it doesn't feel like London. Like, you can see the high rises and stuff around it, but you just get to come and commune with nature.
Yeah,
a bit.
It's really nice, isn't
it?
Exactly.
It's really nice.
Exactly. Yeah. You were saying about COVID as well, weren't you? Very nice. I came on some walks around here as well. It was kind of nice to feel like you had a bit of an escape.
That's really important.
Yeah, and that's like the power of
The power of nature.
The power of nature.
Come on, say it in an American accent.
The power of
If you go, nature. Like, yeah, the power of nature. Amazing. You did it. This is amazing. It's perfect. I love it.
Isn't it true? I think I was mentioning about David Attenborough. Isn't it true that those David Attenborough nature shows are quite popular in America now? Do people watch them there as well?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they, you know, I think David Attenborough is probably on par with the Queen. Just in terms of blanket popularity.
Yeah.
And nature shows in the US, you know, anything with sweeping like photographs of landscape, we're going to be all over it because we've actually seen that. Like, the country's so big. We're just like, yep, give me a sweeping landscape and have somebody with some gravitas talk over it. We're going to be into it.
Yeah.
We're going to be totally into it.
He's got such a memorable and unique voice, hasn't he?
Gorgeous voice. I wish I could do a David Attenborough impression, but, you know, can he be impersonated? The answer is no.
No, he's too good. I once talked to him.
No way!
It's a weird claim to fame. In my previous life as a journalist, I once had to call him and get a quote from him. And I phoned...
What, on, like, car insurance or something? Or it's like, David, I need some help.
Exactly.
Can I please get a quote?
Exactly. Yeah. How much will my car insurance be? I called him.
Yeah.
He said, how many miles is on the car?
Yeah, the whole
What's
thing,
the age
yeah.
of the car?
Exactly.
And then he told me, how much the car insurance would be.
But, yeah, so...
He answered the phone. He said his phone number in his voice.
Oh.
You know, like, old... Do you remember your parents used to...
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're
answer like, the phone, they'd say the number of the...
6270135.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what he did.
This is the Guterbox 6270135. Right. That was like our... Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It was very sweet. He was very, very friendly. Yeah.
I'd imagine he'd just be the loveliest man.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. It'd be great if he was your grandfather or something.
It would be amazing. I would love that. Yeah. I think he would be deeply disappointed in me. But I would love it. I don't think it'd be great for him, but I'd love it.
Yeah, so what have you done? I've saved the entire world and educated everyone about the planet and nature. What have you done with your life?
Well,
this and that.
Learned to be somewhat funny. That's it. Yeah.
Which is still very useful. It's still very useful.
I suppose so. But yeah, David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd love this place.
He would love this place.
And actually, you know, weird thing, around the way they're building this big housing complex, and for a while his name was on it. As like an endorsement, David Attenborough endorses this housing complex, right, which is right next to the reserve. Mm-hmm. And I think he may have taken his name off it.
Okay.
Maybe because he's like, buildings next to a nature reserve. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Now, this will all have to be verified. I don't know. But his name was definitely on the like construction billboard thing.
Interesting. And, We'll find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Leave it with me, Liz.
Oh, I love it. I'll investigate. Journalism, yes.
I'll investigate.
Good.
And by investigate, I mean I'll look on Wikipedia.
Which
later
is great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
You.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's fab.
But yeah, I could see that happening in Britain. And one thing I like about America is national parks.
Yes.
And I think that's one of my favourite things about a deeply problematic but amazing country that I love.
Yes.
But the national parks, I think, are just so great, aren't they? And they're so big, and I love the uniforms that the national park rangers wear.
And park rangers are badass. They look great. They're nice people. Mm-hmm. You've got to, you know, you've essentially, their training is intense, and you've got to be able to be alone for long periods of time. And they are conservationists.
Exactly.
They're incredible. I love the national parks. I think some of my favorite memories as a kid were in Yosemite.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best places in the
it's
world.
It's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I went to Yosemite, I was such a tourist. There were a lot of raccoons in Camp Curry. And I was very excited about seeing the raccoons. And all the Americans were like, oh, raccoons are pests.
No, they are. Am
you
I allowed to say
them
a bad word?
Yeah, say
they
it
are bastards.
Yeah,
they're
you can
scary,
say that
scary bastards.
I thought they were cute.
Which is great. Did you feed them?
No, I was told not to, but I kind
you
of wanted
to
like pet them, and I wanted to like share my dinner with them. But
I tell you what, I was on a camping trip. It was me and my cousin. I was, my younger cousins were probably about 13, and we were there with her mom and their Girl Scout troop, and we had just gone on this camping trip. It was really cool.
Right.
Well, we accidentally, bad Girl Scouting, left some food out.
Girl Scout cookies?
We'll just go with it. Yes, they were Girl Scout cookies. We'd left them out on accident, and we went to hike or do something, and then we came back. And the place had, it was on a park bench just like this one. And there were about 10 raccoons on this park bench.
Eating
the food on the table. And the, yeah. So I was like, oh, come on. This is fine. I'm just going to go shoo them away. And my cousin was like, no, don't do that. Just let them have it and then they'll go away. I was like, come on. They're little raccoons. They look like little robbers, but they have no clout.
They
right?
look like little
yeah,
robbers.
Like
they
little
look
robbers.
Like they've gone to rob a bank.
Yeah, exactly. So they look like little robbers, but they've got no clout. I'm going to march over there and get rid of them. And so I march over there. I shoot, like I start making all the shoo noises. And one of them looks right at me, straight in my eye, goes, and starts running towards me. And I just ran away. It's like raccoons are crazy. They are pests. They're adorable pests.
But to me, I think they seem so cute. Maybe that's...
It's
maybe
a shame.
If I had to live with... if they were always breaking into my house and trying to steal my mac and cheese.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be dreadful. Well, how do you feel about, like, magpies? How do you feel about magpies?
Indifferent.
You feel indifferent?
I kind of like foxes. But people say foxes are kind of like a pest, but...
Why do you like foxes?
I don't know. I feel like I sort of... I feel an affinity with them.
They're survivors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you walk home at night and you see them and they're just sort of, they're there, they're kind of...
They have distinct voices, you know, terrifying sometimes.
So,
but
when they're having sex,
I know it's a classic trope. I don't want to take it there, but you know what? We can't. They've brought this upon themselves. Okay, they've
made
it very, very, very vocal.
Yeah,
but I think,
are they having fun? It's a moot point.
It's just, you know, only they could say. Mm. Only they could really say. But with magpies, I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until I moved here. I didn't know that, like, apparently I have to greet magpies. That was a new thing.
I don't think I know that.
So, it's
Has someone been pulling your leg, Liz?
No. It's a real thing. I promise there are going to be people listening to this going, yes, absolutely. Other people are going to go, what? No, but it's from the... there's a magpie right there. I'm just going to wave at him.
Oh, there actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Hi,
hey,
magpie.
Buddy. Good. Yeah, yeah. And we just do that around. Is because of the rhyme, right? Like, it's bad luck to see only one magpie.
Okay.
Right? So you wave at him to stave it off. So it's like one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy. Like, that's the whole thing.
Right.
So it's like people greet magpies and they do it as like a reflex. I have one, my friend Jessica does a salute. She salutes the magpie and says something like, hello, Mr. Magpie, sir.
Right.
And she says it out loud.
Okay, so very formal.
Very formal salutes. My other friend Louise says, hello, Mr. Magpie, I hope your wife and family are well.
Right.
You think I'm making this up, but it is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So yes, I greet...
So very important to do that.
I greet birds now.
I don't know why I've never been taught that before, but now I know, so this is good. Yeah. This is a learning experience.
You're never
going
to be the same. I bet David Attenborough... greets magpies.
I
bet he does.
We'll call him later.
Yeah,
we'll ask him about that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say as well? On the subject of raccoons, we don't talk about raccoons all day, but I think maybe one of the reasons that I was quite into raccoons was, and maybe we'll talk about this as well with your Edinburgh show, but I think when you get a little bit older, nostalgia becomes a very big thing, and I'm very nostalgic for a cartoon called Raccoons. Do you remember that cartoon, Liz?
So
it was a Canadian cartoon. I loved it.
So I don't remember it. I have heard and seen pictures of it, and I think watched maybe a little trailer, but I know it was like really popular over here, wasn't it?
It was very popular over here,
yeah.
It was shown on Saturday mornings,
right.
And people watched it in, I guess, the sort of mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
And it was actually a very, very, I would say, it was quite a highbrow cartoon.
Right.
There was a lot of like big issues in it. So the raccoons are kind of environmentalists. They were trying to save the evergreen forest from speculators.
Oh my...
Cyril Sneer was always trying to like build condos in the
what
evergreen
a name
forest.
With a name like Cyril Sneer, you're born to do bad things.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Normative
determinism in action.
It's true. And it's like, okay, so Pixar films often have a big moral and stuff, but
yeah, they
like
do, don't
for
they?
These and that's so great, but these 80s cartoons as well, like Captain Planet. Did you have Captain
Planet?
Planet,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, environmentalism was everywhere. Yeah. The Hanna-Barbera people just absolutely loved it. They're like, well, if we're going to make these animals talk, we're going to make them talk about...
Would you mean like
issues.
Yogi Bear?
Yeah, well, okay, maybe not. Although, he didn't have a good relationship with park rangers,
No, he didn't, did he?
No.
He was a naughty bear.
He was a naughty bear.
Stealing picnics.
Yeah.
From, that was Jellystone Park, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh, good memory.
Yeah, not
Jellystone. I don't know, some parallels, surely. This is really funny. But if you think about it, like, who was on whose territory?
Yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly.
Yogi Bear,
he'd been there for a longer time.
He'd been there for a longer time, I'm sure.
Him and his kin.
You know, but maybe Boo Boo could have been the go-between. Hey, Boo Boo.
Boo Boo. Yogi, I was talking to him the other day about how, I'm sure we won't get sued for this, but how essentially... all
Bring
this
it on, you call David Attenborough, he'll help you out, be fine.
I feel like we always need lawyers for these episodes, but... There was kind of a generic setup at play, wasn't there? Yogi and Boo Boo, Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
Yeah,
that kind of like
the
guy
hero
and the
sidekick.
You've
got to have one. You don't have a sidekick.
No, I don't have a sidekick. I need to get a sidekick who's half my height.
That's a good
idea. Who could
idea.
Come around with me.
It's a really good idea.
And we could get into some hilarious scrapes together.
Yeah, hijinks. Yeah. How about a raccoon?
Right.
Yeah.
A raccoon. I'll dress him like a human.
Train them.
We'll walk around.
Exactly.
When we go to the supermarket, no one will bat an eyelid.
Not at all.
The thing is, you could walk through Hackney with a raccoon dressed in human clothes, and people would just say,
"Oh,
like,
people would love it."
Fine.
People would absolutely love it. You'd be a TikTok star.
Right.
Then you'd have to explain to the raccoon that you're not just friends with him for his, like, for views, really.
Right, exactly.
That'd be, you know.
We'd have to say this was a genuine friendship.
Yeah.
It meant something to both of us.
Means something to both of you. Now, there's a little robin that has come.
There
to
really
visit
is.
Us. It's so sweet.
I love this. This is the most nature we've ever had in any of these
oh
podcasts.
Oh my gosh.
The robin looks really friendly.
There's two of them. Is that a robin?
Yeah, it is.
They're so sweet.
That one looks a bit more disheveled.
Yeah, that one looks like he's been in London for a little too long.
Exactly.
He's like, I need to move to the suburbs.
Yeah. He might have been at Glastonbury. It looks like he's had quite a rough time. Are they a couple?
I think they might be.
Mr. and Mrs. Robin. That's really
That's
cute,
so cute,
isn't it? Yeah.
She's having a hard time, though. You know, he's not pulling his weight.
No.
He looks great, but he's doing nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Remind you of anyone?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, we're talking about these cartoons and nostalgia. I think it's, you know, you kind of look back on things a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
When you get a bit older, you kind of, like, reminisce a lot. And that becomes, you know, there's a lot of Insta feeds I follow where there's kind of, yeah, shows.
Just nostalgia.
Yeah, or things you bought that you remember.
Yeah,
and it's kind of interesting to think about that, isn't it? Do you think, like, is there a certain point where you think about maybe the past more than the future or something? Is it like...
It's really interesting.
When you become 30, you're like, okay.
Well, I mean, it's crazy to me as well that 30 is viewed as... if you think about, like, if you're 70,
yeah,
you are definitely looking back maybe more than you are forward. I'm 41 and I'm going... I'm technically, maybe not, hopefully life expectancy is a bit older than 80, but it's going down in the UK.
Is it going down?
It is, unfortunately, after COVID and all that stuff. I know, keep it fun, Liz, keep it fun. But basically,
we're all going to die.
It's all, I
really
mean,
soon.
Yeah, well, okay, maybe
I
not really
Google
soon.
I thought Google were going to make us live forever, isn't that
Well,
the...
I'm afraid to say, they don't have our best interests.
No.
Heart necessarily.
What?
It might be a revelation for you, dropping the big truth bombs today. But you know, at 40, I'm going, right, yeah. I'm not young, I'm not old. I am young relative to other people.
We both look young.
Thank you.
We both look
we
22.
Do. Oh, well, you are.
We've got good genes.
Yes, we're doing great. But I am looking back more, certainly, than I used to. But I'm also... maybe appreciating, I think I look back on things more with appreciation, and nostalgia makes me happy. You know, revisiting some of those cartoons or like thinking, gosh, I didn't used to be so stressed or have to do so much stuff. I look back on that and it makes me happy. But like, I like the idea of sort of leaving that stuff in the past as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm glad that stuff happened. I'm glad that I had my childhood and all that, but I don't really want to be back there.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
There's an element of that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think when you're 30, you get it in your head. You're just like, oh my God, I have to have everything figured out and I can't, you know, and I've got to be an adult now and blah, blah, blah. And that's sort of true, but like you have so much, hopefully you have so much more living to do.
Yeah.
After that... You know?
The look that Liz made on her face when she said so much living to do was kind of a combination of like, it was like humor and pain.
And sadness.
And sadness.
Like, so you have so much more living to do. I just get.
I'll take
know.
A photo of you making that pose. And we'll put that up. But Liz, when you were coming up with, so your show, Geriatric Millennial, which you're going to be doing in Edinburgh, when you were coming up with material for that show, did it kind of change your view of maybe aging and life and youth and nostalgia, were you kind of thinking about different
things?
Yeah,
I was absolutely thinking about that. I think that the generational, I guess, conflict that we seem to have, it made me sort of go, but generationally speaking, each generation will have experienced some significant events. Ours most recently would probably
the Kardashians.
The Kardashians, yeah. basically a scourge that we cannot get rid of. No, I mean, let's be real. They are everywhere. But yeah, I think there will be big events that we've all experienced together. Yeah. Some more traumatic than others, for sure.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But I just find it interesting, like, labeling generations as certain things. At what point do we start saying, right, this generation was this, this generation is that? Millennials are seen as these very self-centered, egotistical people who live with their parents still. And Generation Z people don't want to be seen as millennials because they're just like, they're not cool and we're not that old. And I don't know, there's all this, like, it did make me think, why is there so much intergenerational conflict? Is that something that sells? Seems like it. Mm. It seems like it certainly makes more headlines, and it makes it exciting if other generations hate each other. But if you look at things like, there will always be an older generation saying to a younger generation, you're too much, you're getting it wrong, the past was always better. And I'm like, oh crap, am I at the age where I'm going, I remember the good old days when there were raccoons on TV and I could go wherever I wanted, you know? I'm like, oh Jesus. So yeah, in thinking about this show, it's like I thought, well, what are the things that join us together more than separate us? And it sounds cheesy and very American, but you know what, I'm cheesy and very American. And I'm also, you know, I've got some of that British cynicism as well. I know what sarcasm is. But yeah, it's nice to have a bit of a longer format to talk about these things and to see people's faces when you say, oh, millennials were born between 1981 and 1996. And the look of horror on some people's faces going, oh, shit, I'm a millennial. I didn't know it. And other people going, I'm a millennial. Oh, right, cool. Yeah.
That thing of labeling the generations as well, like Gen Z, Gen X, millennial, it's kind of a strange way of segmenting people as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you wonder if, you know, do people then live up to that identity because they're like, oh, we are self-centered and, you know, still live with our parents, or, you know, we're not really viewed through the lens of what circumstances were present in society to make it so that this is our situation. Market crashes and those kinds of things. It's more like, you didn't pull yourself up from your bootstraps. That's why you don't have any property. It's like, no, there was a really
too many
bleak
avocado
mortgage.
Toasts.
Yeah, there's a really bleak mortgage crisis that was caused by big banks.
That
had an effect on lots of people. But what's also really funny is there's one generation, and I think it's 19. I'm going to get the dates wrong, but I think it's 1901 to 1921, and they were called the Greatest Generation. And I'm going, well, they've already got the best name.
The Greatest Generation.
So what's
generation.
The point? Yeah. Yeah. It's all, I think, for like social scientists, they want to categorize things, and that can be helpful for understanding maybe human history.
Yeah.
But for some of us, it might feel like, oh, I'm not just that.
Yeah.
And actually, that is part of what my show became about as well, which is like, well, I have these labels, but I'm not just that. But I am some of that, but I'm not just that.
Yeah, and it's weird, isn't it? It's like, oh, because you're with this cohort, then you should have something in common with them. But we don't necessarily do that. And also, it's strange, isn't it, Liz? Like, the time that you're born, say if you're born in the Greatest Generation time or baby boomer time, like, your life is almost kind of determined then by, like, when you're born in history. I wonder if it's possible. People can identify so many different things these days. I wonder if it's possible to identify as a member of another generation. Do you think I could do that?
I think you could.
Transition to being a member of the Greatest Generation and identify as that?
You could be.
Learn the Charleston.
Yes. You would have to... I'm trying to think of other things that you would have to do.
Yeah.
My goodness, you would have had to live through a Great Depression.
Right.
I mean, maybe you... Yeah. It's not funny, but it would be I'm just like, oh my god, the Greatest Generation, they did live through that. But it's interesting that those hard economic times hit everybody at some point. Now obviously more so than others. Yeah. But, like, the way that we deal with things as generations, so the people in the Greatest Generation through the Great Depression, they didn't have the same means of communication, so they couldn't have a TikTok that's like, hey, life's pretty hard right now, right? Where we have that communication now.
Their Wi-Fi was so bad back then, wasn't it?
It was so slow.
It just took forever. They were trying to upload a reel back in the 20s. It just took so long.
It's like so many donkeys involved carrying messages back and forth.
Because they had to carry the Wi-Fi on the donkey.
Exactly.
Wells Fargo took the Wi-Fi hand.
You really know your history.
I don't
You really know your history.
I've been to university.
Amazing. But it's that thing, the way that we deal with certain crises or the circumstances into which we were born, it can define us, and then there are definitely going to be people who completely defy that and seem like have, great ideas that help lead the way for the next generation. Yeah. You hope.
The geriatric word is quite a powerful word, isn't it? And we're kind of, one feels like we're obsessed with youth and what do we think about old people? There's going to be so many more old people because we're going to live forever, maybe not in the UK.
It sounds like
I'm going to be dying next year probably.
Batten down the hatches.
But I can't afford a mortgage, so it's fine if I die. But maybe in other countries they will. Like in Japan, people live for a very long time, don't they?
And
other places as well.
Yeah.
So we kind of have this, on one hand, this obsession with youth, don't we? And then we've got an aging population. And words like geriatric are quite loaded, aren't
quite
they?
Loaded.
What conclusions did you come to about that?
I think one thing that's very interesting is that the word geriatric, as you said, is very loaded. Ageism is sort of implicit in labeling generations, right? So either your generation is bad because you're too young and want too much stuff, don't want the world to burn, so you're kind of talking about those issues. You're out of touch if you're in an older generation. You're boomers, you're labeled completely out of touch. I think for some reason, being old, old and with experience seems to be a bad thing. Now, obviously, there are going to be people who are older whose ideas I don't like at all. I'm just like, no, I don't care if you're an old person. I don't like these ideas at all. But what's interesting is, like, we get this idea that at some point we're obsolete, that past a certain age we don't matter.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. That's a major problem. Like, I know in some cultures and in places like Japan, older people, specifically older women, are shown more respect. Mm-hmm. The wizened old woman is a trope that actually exists. It does sort of exist here, but not necessarily. I think ageism makes all the other isms worse. It makes racism worse. It makes homophobia worse. It makes sexism worse, you know. And I think it's a problem. So, yeah, in some small way, because I only have an hour, in some small way, I do try to talk about that and what it means. And, you know, is getting old a bad thing? No. It's in some ways, you know, the way that certain things are going, it's a privilege to get older.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Privilege to be able to get old.
I think getting old in some way sounds quite fun.
Yeah.
You know, you read about these kind of old people's communities where they just party all the time. The rates of chlamydia through
Woo!
The roof.
Spring break. Yeah,
it's like spring break for old people, right? Spring break for old people. They just like there listening to rap music all day, smoking blunts.
Yes, we love. Cool. I mean,
it's not that bad.
The thing that's funny is, I wonder, and especially because I don't think I'm going to have children, I'm thinking about, you know, what is my community going to be like when I'm older? And it's a joke, but I wonder if it won't be soon. I have, you know, female friends that it's like, if we're, say, or even if we were living with partners, but it's like, we should go, you know, sort of try to get houses next to one another, or at least tents, like something next to one another, because none of us can afford houses. But still, it's like, you know, could we live in close proximity so we have a community? Or even for those friends of mine who do have children, can I be, because I don't have children, can I be more of a resource for them for childcare and that stuff? Like, yeah, thinking about community and older people being in the community, how am I going to age? Like, I don't know. What am I going to do when I'm older?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, it's like, I want to age well.
Yeah.
And I want to enjoy getting older. But I don't know in the current climate, say, what that's going to look like. I don't want chlamydia.
No one wants chlamydia.
No one wants chlamydia. But I do still want to enjoy myself. Maybe I can enjoy myself without that aspect. It'd be great. Yeah. We can find ways to educate people about STDs and then we'll be fine.
We should do that for sure. Great. But yeah, I think these kind of communities, it seems to me like you don't necessarily have to live in a kind of gross, boring, like medical kind of old people's hospital sort of thing. You can maybe live somewhere a bit cooler.
Well, and there's some very real stuff about getting older. Like, I know I was lucky enough to know all my grandparents, and they were in, I hate to say it, but they were in bad shape by the time they got very old.
Right.
And it's the sort of end of life care. Again, I know... One of the reasons we don't like talking about getting older is because it does go hand in hand with talking about death. And it's like, we are so into how are we going to, what's my life like right now?
Yeah.
How am I going to live the best life right now? And it's difficult to think, well, what's it going to be like when I'm really old and maybe ill or maybe not able to move around?
Yeah.
I think old people are slower. They are less in some ways. Slower, but in one way, in many ways, that's a good thing. Like, we can learn things from them, we can try and support them. I think I'm like, God, when I'm a really old lady, I hope people are nice to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure you'll be a cool old lady.
I hope so.
I like it as well when you kind of, like, older people have a kind of authority about them, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a very funny... This is almost like I thought of this segue, but I didn't. It just come to me. But like in Armando Iannucci's show Time Trumpet,
I haven't watched it. No.
It's really good. So he has
these very old actors who are playing people who are supposedly older, because it's like set in the future.
Amazing.
So there's an old actor who plays like David Beckham, and he will tell a story which is preposterous, but because it's an old people tell an old person telling a story, you're like, oh, this sounds very believable.
Yeah.
So you can have an old person, like, as an old person, you can tell lies.
Yes.
Or you can do jokes, and people will be like, oh, what they're saying.
Oh, wow, really?
Like, you have an audience.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, I think it would be quite fun in a way to be an old person. Young, I imagine, like, young people listening to me. Finally,
people are listening to me.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, because I think we forget that old people, we don't want to think about, oh, old people have real life experience. They've had relationships, they've had sex, they've had marriages break up, they've had all this stuff happen to them.
I'm sorry, Liz, you can say bastard, but because this podcast might go out in America, you can't say the word sex.
Oh no, that's dreadful. I've ruined it. Because old people have held hands with other people. I love how I definitely was just like, sex. Oh, move on. But it's like, we forget that they have experienced life as well before us. And all the complexities that come along with it. I think when I see, I've had in my Edinburgh, my first year I ever did Edinburgh, with my split bill partner, Louise Bastock, we were doing our show called Sparkle Deli, and there was a lady who wanted to bring in, I think it was her 94-year-old mother, and we were like, well, you can bring her, but is it appropriate?
Yeah.
And then she sat down in the front row, and we said, so we're just letting you know that there's some rude things in the show. Yeah. And she said, well, don't you worry, I've heard it all. And we're just like, oh my God, yeah, of course. Like, she's a person. Like, what are we, why are we so worried about shielding this person from things?
That's so cool as well.
Yeah.
That she was like down for that.
She was amazing. Yeah, yeah. We had the best time. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So talking about Armando, I wanted to ask you before I forget about Avenue 5.
Yes,
Liz,
yeah.
And what it was like to work on that show.
I mean,
Armando, who I think is a great, great producer.
He's a genius, and he's a great director.
Yeah.
And one thing I would say in my very brief time on that show, he's a real leader.
Mm.
And that set had so many moving parts, so many different sets, hundreds and hundreds of supporting artists that had to be wrangled for all the crowd scenes, and then the guest artists, the guest stars, and then all the main cast, and I was a guest, and it was like this huge machine. And Armando was at the top of it. And you know, I walked in on my first day, and I'm looking at this. It's a dream. Like, it's a dream come true.
Yeah.
And I got to see Hugh Laurie in person, you know, acting and just being the legend that he is,
yeah,
along with a bunch of other amazing people. Like,
what was he like?
He seems nice. He was great.
Yeah.
I only saw him briefly. I didn't properly meet him. I got to meet Rebecca Front and actually rode to set with her.
Oh, wow.
And an amazing person.
Yeah.
An incredibly generous, wonderful person, smart, has the most shit-hot American accent in the world. Like, mm-hmm. And she's just a consummate actor, professional. Hugh was great. And watching him work was great. I mean, this man has been on sets from time immemorial, basically. And so he was very, like, straight to the point. You know, let's shoot this, let's get it done so I can go have lunch. And it's like, yeah, because he's been doing it for so long. Whereas I'm just kind of like, this is a dream. I can't believe I'm here. And it's nice to see that, you know, they're all just people. They're people who are doing a job and led by Armando, who is so open to collaborating with people. And, you know, we have a written script, but he also hires people who are excellent improvisers, like Zach Woods, who's also one of the loveliest human beings you'll ever meet.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because in the thick of it, and Veep, improvisation was very much a part of what the actors were bringing to the table.
Yes.
Was there kind of space to...
Yeah, I would say, certainly, you know, for guests like me, you need to tread carefully and not, you know, make sure that you're sticking to script. And,
sure,
you know, yeah, you are very much a guest there, but there is definitely room to be made. And for people like Zach Woods or Rebecca there is always room for them to say, hey, I, or even to just try something,
yeah.
or to say, hey, I'd like to say this instead of that. And doing takes that are exactly on script and then doing a few takes that maybe are around script. And it was amazing. And for me, there were some things that I wanted to try that I was allowed to try or able to try. And it just speaks to Armando's idea that it's a collaborative effort,
yeah.
and it's the best sort of set to be on,
yeah,
because
for
of
sure.
that.
Yeah.
Even for people who are there for a really brief time, like me, it's just, it's special. It felt like a real learning opportunity for me.
He brings like these great groups of people together. The Day to Day was my favorite show when I was like
yeah.
a teenager. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
He'd got this array of talent and managed to bring out the best of people with quite a lot of big egos,
yeah.
But also incredible talent.
Yeah,
like Rebecca Front was great on that.
I mean,
yeah, great
yeah.
in the thick of it and stuff. And
yeah, she's just sensational. And
yeah.
and you see that there is, you know, when you're on a set, it's long hours, and especially if you're a lead
yeah.
character, it is a tremendous amount of mental and physical effort. And these people are at the top of their game, and so getting
yeah.
to watch them work and be amazing, but also like the humor and the fun that they have. Yeah, it was just, it was great. And Josh Gad was on the on set with us and,
mm-hmm.
and part of it as well. And I mean, he just absolutely, what a talent. All of them. I mean, yeah,
yeah.
I could go on and on, but yeah, they're just amazing.
So Liz, I have a question from an Avenue 5 superfan who I know. And the question is this, if the series hadn't been cancelled, what was the possible direction that it might have gone in? Do you have any intel on... whether they would have got back or like what would have happened in the future if there was like a season three or season four?
I mean, I think if there was a season three, my hunch would be, just because of the way that Armando is, I don't think they would ever get back.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they would. I do think that some of the new leadership would come into the fore, and you know, I don't think it would go well, but I think Ryan would spend a while sort of trying to fulfill his new role and failing again. It would almost be like you just go back to the first
yeah.
episode.
Comedy
almost.
Of failure.
Yeah.
Like, that's the funny thing.
That's what
it
is.
Right.
But it's all a metaphor for the, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the posturing of recent figures in American government.
No.
Could you believe it?
What?
I can't believe I made that connection. But yeah, it's like the Judd character is so, so beautifully disgusting.
Yeah.
And that show, like, yeah, I don't see how it could end positively for people, which is a really scathing thing to say about, I'm like, where's the country going?
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, there will be some messes and some triumphs and some things, but
yeah,
I don't think they'd get back.
They should have done more. I feel like the greatest shows always get cancelled, and
do.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
And what's interesting is, I think what's great is that Armando, even though it would be great to go back, it would be great to see everything play out, I don't think he buys into the American model of having shows go on forever and ever.
Yeah.
So then you have these lovely pieces of great television that stay in their sort of capsule, and there's something that is sort of rare about that now. Like I
yeah.
just watched Indiana Jones 5, and there's part of
how
me
is
that
it?
I, you know what, I don't want to say, but I mean,
I loved those films when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. And this is the thing, is that we bring these characters back and back again, and Harrison Ford obviously is tremendous. He's
how old is Harrison Ford now?
He's in his 80s.
No.
And I read something from a critic, and they
name.
Made him do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Like they did, and he does it. He's amazing. He is amazing. And so many people in the film obviously are great, but I think like it's interesting that we can't sort of let things just be, which I think is a testament to Armando kind of going, you know, it's time, you know, this is the right time to end it.
Yeah.
If he does, there might be, I'm guessing, maybe sometime like 5 years, 10 years in the future or something like that, Armando's going to be, we'll do like a reunion
yeah.
or we'll do a Where Are They Now sort of episode or two or three episodes. That could be really cool.
It would be, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. One but like special. The Office Christmas special kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Knowing when to end it is the big question, isn't it?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
When do you end it? Okay, well, on that bombshell, maybe we'll end here. Liz, thank you so much for talking to me today. The sun has come out, and I hope you've enjoyed... Hope you've enjoyed the nature reserve.
I've had the absolute best time. Brilliant. Thank you so much for bringing me back here.
No problem. Yeah. Liz Guterbock, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Cheers, Liz.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad. Make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcasts from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in a park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up on the next edition of Park Date, join me as I interview Governor Ron DeSantis inside an oven. Looks kind of small, but, well, I guess if you're ready, I'm ready. Okay, what do we do? Okay, and we just climb inside? Excellent.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.